Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from our special guest.
What's interesting is that you can meet somebody for the first time and feel like you've known them for 100 years, and that's exactly what took place several weeks back, or about a month ago. We got a message from Georgie and Banoff, and said, who's been with us several different times, and said, hey, our dear friends are coming through the region. Would you like to grab lunch with them? I'm like, yeah. And so when we went to lunch, the first time we sat down is like, they're spirit to spirit. And just that instant connection. And so we extended the invitation of saying, hey, if you're still in the region, we'd love to have you, because our family needs to hear what the Lord's doing in and through your life. And there was even a prophetic word last night. Our good friends from Hill Country Church, Tim and Elizabeth, were doing dinner with us. And there was this picture given of this giant suitcase that had a bunch of different currencies in it. So they were graces. And what it is like they've got these things that they carry with them, that there's a grace for the moment. Like every situation they run into, all they have to do is go into their suitcase and pull out the currency, which is a grace, and it brings a grace, whether that's a grace for healing, a grace for salvation, a grace for deliverance, a grace for the healing of the broken heart, like just a hug, a grace to love on the poor, just a grace all around. And I feel like what we're receiving this morning is as you guys are coming in here, is have your hands open, because what the Lord's going to do is as they begin to share, they're just reaching into the supernatural kingdom suitcase that's got this money in it. And what it is they're bringing a value to you that's greater than human currency, right? It's going to empower you. So whatever you came this morning in need of, I believe you're going to receive as you're willing just to say, Lord, whatever you have for me in this. Now, the harvest is ripe. And so some good friends of ours who minister in the Middle East just got a testimony. They baptized 44 people in Iran yesterday. Come on. And I believe it was five, and they got a message this morning, five Muslims just gave their life to Christ this morning. So we talk about, well, the harvest and revival is here. No, it's tangibly here, right? We got to be ready. It's like we're not the ones that have to make the harvest happen. We just have to be the willings to become harvesters and bring it in and partner with Holy Spirit and what he's doing. And so I'm telling you right now, it's happening. It's coming to our nation, but it's happening there. And God has a powerful thing that's planned for you this morning too. So why don't y'all just stand up with me and give a warm welcome to Zora and Mariana Pinchev.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Good morning, y'all. I'm practicing my Texas accent. I need to be careful. We are not in America. We are in Texas. There is a big sign that I see on the way, on the highways. Don't mess with Texas. I gotta be careful. So it's a great pleasure to be here this morning with all of you. And thank you, Pastor Jay and Kelly. Do I pronounce your name properly? No. Jay? Yeah? Okay. Because you did not pronounce my name very properly. You call me Zorro. Give me the bad guys. We'll take care of them. But my name is Zorro, which is okay. I accept Zorro. Zorro has a mask. Everybody today can have mask, but it's here. Zorro is there. It's a great honor to be this morning. Thank you for your hospitality. For last night dinner was awesome. You carry for our temples. Thank you. Thank you for your sweet children, all of them. Amazing family. And it's a divine appointment from the Lord. Thank you, George Ambanov, and here. And experience what's going on in America in the last days. Here with my wife. Let me introduce ourselves a little bit. Did you understand my English?
Yes.
Most of you did not. Because in my country is opposite, yes and no. So when you move with head, I'm confused. I rather do you say yes and no than to understand. But if you don't understand my English, it's your fault, because I speak perfect English. So me and my wife been married, 76 years. I'm not that old. He says we know one another for 100 years. That's not true. I'm married for her 38, and she's married for me 38. That means 76, okay. Just kind of a little bit to start to know. But we've been married 38 years together. We have 2 children and 4 grandchildren. We are blessed. If you don't, we grew up, we live in Bulgaria. We just visit America, Texas now. And underground church, we have so much persecution. And last night we shared a little bit more about this stuff and story. But the good part, when you have persecution, you stay firm in the faith with the Lord, and you really understand what it means to be a fighter, a good soldier for your faith. And so we have so many stories. I cannot tell all of this kind of stuff, but today's century, our country, Bulgaria, where we are from, it's been 1989, the communism fell down. We're praying to communism not come in America. Communism fell down. I mean, I will tell you with the experience. I'm not telling with, like, thinking. I'm telling that's not a good idea. It's look good, but it's not good. So communism fell down, and the country became kind of free. It's hard to get free when your mind is still locked. And Egypt to get out of their mind. So the country's free, and the good part that we became free, they're starting to open the border so we can be able to travel. Usually we cannot. And so now, God bless us, we work in our country, which is our Jerusalem, but also he sent us to go to our neighbor's country, which is some of the biblical towns. We go to Turkey. We are neighbors with Turkey. Actually, if you look on the map, I don't know how many of you know where is Bulgaria, but if you look on the map, Bulgaria is very well, kind of very strategically placed in the map, because south of us is starting Asia. From Turkey down below, it's whole continent of Asia, which is considered mostly Muslim world. So Turkey is 72 million people, and 99.99% of population are Muslim. And you all open the book of Revelation, for example, there are the 7 churches in Turkey. I say it's a great opportunity to see all those wells to be redeemed. So we've been going to these places, praise the Lord. There is a church, my brother from our ministry, we bless him and we support. So there is a church in Turkey, praise the Lord. And we are so thankful. Then also we go, our neighbor countries, next is Greece. How many of you know Greece? Yes, yes. Do we have people from Greece? Okay. We love Greece. They have a good food and good music. And and good beaches, yeah. Who wants to go on vacation? It's a very good place for vacation. And God lead us, and we go to a different city, where his first church in Europe been started by Apostle Paul, Philippi, Thessaloniki. How do you call it? Thessalonians? How do you call it? Thessalonica? Interesting. Because Thessaloniki is the second church where Paul started. And actually, when Alexander the Great conquered the city, he made donate gift to his sister. So her name is Saloniki. And this is where is the name come for the city. And the modern Greek is Thessaloniki. So we are there. We, by the grace of God, start church there and help two other groups to grow up. And also, now then the last one that we go to Romania, to even UK, but the last one that we started in a northern country of Macedonia, northern Macedonia, amongst the Muslims. It's a bit challenges. How many of you wants to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? All of us, yes? This is our DNA. Who lives in us wanted to this love to be spread everywhere. Am I? To share, yeah. So a few years ago, God spoke to us. Says, actually, one man wrote to my wife, and he says, come and help us. You know, like Paul has this vision, Macedonian man. So Mariana says, I feel a Macedonian man calling me to help. Long story short, we went there, and the place where he ministering was not poor people. Our heart is for poor, widows, orphans. This is where we're going. Long story short, we ask him. He says, I know one place, but I never been there. We like it, these places. Yes. Nobody been there. This is our place. So we are with the car. We took our worship. Guys, worship is very important. Thank you this morning for the worship. You guys are awesome. Blessings to you that you pour heaven amongst us. And we are so thankful. And we brought our worship is different style. The gypsy, I don't know if you know gypsy. They like more dancing. If you come on a mission trip with us into Bulgaria, bring your dancing shoes. And we went there, and then we driving and we praying. And praise God for give us a, when we don't know how to pray, give us a way to how to pray, tongues. People, look at you, you're a sheik. It looks like you're something wrong with you, but I don't know. Maybe it's a good way to be wrong with me. Suddenly we feel we should stop in one particular place. And we stop there. As we stop there, we get out of the car, and the guy starting to tune their guitar. It was cold weather. As they tune the guitar and people coming to join us, I pull on the side and starting to speak with one man. You know, trying to introduce myself, say hello, smiling, you know, how are you? All this kind of good stuff. And the man says, who are you? I said, I'm a minister of God. I wanted to tell you good news about Christ. And he says, oh. Here is a, you know, Imam is the leader of the Muslim. Oh, Lord, help me. How many of you know Michael Jackson? I try to be like Michael Jackson, moving backward. I don't know what to say. I was stuck. You know, we always think we know everything, how to react it. I don't know how to react it. I was stuck, so I pulled back. And I'm pulling, kind of trying to find another person, you know. And the man, the imam, says to me, our languages are the same. So he says, by the way, the car that you park is the only one Christian family in the whole village, like 5,000 people. Only one family Christian. So, oh, thank you, Lord. From the mouth of imam, I have a sign where we are. We start with this family the same day. I mean, we bless them, loving them. They're crying, laughing, all of this because they feel they are not alone. Yes. I wanted to encourage you, American friends, brother and sister, you're not alone. Western world create so much loneliness in the people. You are not alone. Yes. And when we started, my wife says, is there a widow? Oh, yeah, there are many widows. She says, but the widows that nobody have way to help her. So, Do you want to hear this story? I can preach, but I wanted to tell you this is the life story. And this is what our God taking to these places. And we are privileged to have, I like suitcases with money. But let me tell you, I'm privileged, you know, what the prophecy was. I'm privileged to have treasure in heaven, the source of the people. This is what my Lord Jesus Christ teach me. Things that rust and cannot help me. Thank you. Your English is good. Okay. So we went to the lady. The door is like a fabric only. So go in. Where is the window? And it's a winter. Our winter is, I mean, you guys have a winter. Last week we kind of enjoy. It's our winter. But this winter is there like 4 months. It's like not 1 week. And window, just fabric. Her roof, you can see heaven. I mean, bad situation. My wife, Mariana, she says, let's help her. Let's buy a wood. Because she just came in and carried a small branches of wood. So we order it, and the gypsy immediately bring it and starting to chopping the woods over there. We bought a food for her. And she says, who are you? Why are you doing this to me? And we says, Jesus is doing this to you. She says, I want to know this Jesus. And you know what's happened? She says, Jesus, who are you? And then we pray and she accepts Jesus. She was almost blind. She couldn't see it. And I think God healed her. She's starting to kissing us and accept Jesus. And I says to this couple, now you have a fruit. Your church is growing. You have a one widow in your church. I cannot finish all day this story. But then we are just approaching out of her home. A woman waiting. She says, come to my home. My mother-in-law is very sick. Okay, immediately we go there. This is what we believe. So we go there. She's on the bed, you know, worst condition. And I sit next to her. And Mariana asked our worship guys, don't sing any music. Just serenade lovely songs. Lovely, love me, danger, something. You know, lovely songs. So they're serenaded, very soft. And since we are sitting, I says, would you like me to help you to stand up? So help her. She's sit down next to me. I sit next to her. We sit and they continue to worship. Stand up first. So she stand up there. We continue a little song. I says, let's walk a little bit. I'm trying to bubble up her faith, you know. So she start to walk a little bit. And then one moment, I leave it her. And she continued to walk. And I says, do you know who heal you now? She says, I don't. I says, Jesus. She says, I wanted to know this Jesus. The mother and the daughter-in-law, the daughter and mother-in-law, they both received Jesus. We turn to this couple and says, look at now what's happened. You have a widow and daughter and mother-in-law. Your church is big now. So we are so thankful to the Lord because this was the beginning. People are calling us for prayer. Now, 3 years later, 5 years later, excuse me. 5 years later, we have approximately 30 people attend this group of people. The pastor, this couple, they have only one room, so we built upper their room another. I love the upper room. Oh, the door is locked, but Jesus is not stopped from the locked doors. So the upper room, they're gathering probably 30 people today. We have amongst them fruit. And every single day, 50 kids, and 30 of them are orphan, we are able to feed it. Thank you for your generosity, for your gift, because this is going to help us a lot, what we are going to do over there, to see Jesus lifted up and the kingdom of the Lord to be extended. Amen. So this is simply who we are. We are going, our goal is to lift Jesus up every place where he put us. We come to America on this interesting moment. You know, whole world is in a kind of challenges with this pandemic. In our countries, the same. But God's still on the throne. And we believe for March to be a month of celebration. March. Let everybody say March. March. You say very good English. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, before I start to preach, this morning I get a good coffee on a great cup. Did you see it? John Wayne. Okay. And what's written in the cup, talk slow, and don't talk too much. This was written in the cup. When I'm drinking, I said, what's happened here? And then my wife is coming, and she carry a cup. I didn't take picture of yours, but her cup was written, in all things, give thanks. The verse from Thessalonians. But this scripture, what her cup was, remind me something when Paul wrote letter to the church of Thessalonians. You know, this group of people was, he has very bad persecution when he get there. And this group of people, you must understand something. They were so quickly to believe that Jesus is coming any moment. For this reason, they didn't go to work even. They get lazy, so Paul teach them, hey, if you don't work, you cannot eat even. You know? But then he's trying to speak them, what is the will of God? You know, when Jesus was in there, they asked him, what are you doing here? He says, I'm doing what my father tell me to do. Are you agree? But I think the question is to us, what we are doing today here? What we are doing with our life? And I think we are doing what our Father is doing. What is His will? Are you agree with me? What is His will? And Paul starting, I mean, there are so many ways you can find what is the will of God, but Paul starting to reveal what is the will of God for us. And in Thessalonians, he wrote very clearly. Are you want to hear what is the will of God for us today? Yes. Are you like it? Okay. First thing he says, rejoice, always rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5. Always rejoice. How many of you like to be to rejoice? I don't know anybody that doesn't want to rejoice. Everybody. But interesting what Paul says, he says always. That means even in pandemic time, we need to rejoice. You know, Paul wrote this from the prison. Even to the first church in Philippi, he used the most word rejoice. And again, I told you, rejoice is safety for you. When you rejoice, always rejoice. That means always, even when you have tough time, learn how to rejoice in the Lord. The Bible, we cannot manufacture the joy. The joy is the fruit of our relationship with Him. The fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy. The intimacy, when you enter His presence, the Bible says it's fullness of joy. On your right side is a party. So always rejoice. We need to remind one another. Because in this time when challenges are coming, we forgot our weapons. Our weapons, it's not a Kalashnikov. Our weapons is bigger. Love. Not love only your neighbor. Love your enemy. Oh. How? Well, we were enemy of God. But He loves us. And love conquer. So one of the greatest weapons that we found in the Bible is joy. I was growing up underground church. I don't know what this joy. I think people are very kind of missing to be serious with the joy of the Lord. But the joy of the Lord is very serious thing, you know. I can tell you one quick testimony. Are you ready? How the joy working? I was kind of skeptical for the joy. We were in Istanbul, Turkey, and with Georgian and Winnie, Mariana, me, and two more couples. So we hear that it's a neighborhood that is very dangerous, where live Kurds and Turks, and they're fighting. And it's a Muslim area. So we go there, and I was driving the van. And because I cannot park anywhere, I got to stay on the van when we get to the neighborhood. So I'm in the van with the purpose to not be stolen the van. There was, if stole the van, I cannot get out of Turkey. It's a long story. So I'm sitting in the van. They go to find a place. What's going on? Investigate it. They are like a spy, you know. So they went there. They have fun, as I understand later from their story. But when I'm sitting there on the van, a girl, young girl, maybe 20 years of age, coming to me, but her face is not good. It's kind of aggressive. And she's speaking something on Turkish language I don't understand. And suddenly, she hit me. I cannot do it, but she hit me on my nose. And I have my cell phone here, like you have glasses, and tried to steal it, my cell phone, you know. I grab her hand, and I'm like, shall we fight now? But long story short, I put at her, and she was demon-possessed. She had so many cuts. And then one guy came. First of all, one car passing by. She hit the car, brand new car. And then the damage, you know, and then one guy, you know, she was really demon possessed. So they came after they've been in the neighborhood full of joy, Georgian, hallelujah, praise God, you know, treasures we found it. I mean, I feel I'm bleeding. And I'm telling the story, woman beat me. It's kind of big discrimination. I mean, they're laughing. I was not laughing. I feel pain. What kind of mission, you know? So the next day, Georgian decided to bring the whole group and just kind of doing a meeting over there. So Georgian playing with the violin, maybe, I don't know how many hundreds of people came on this meeting. And in one moment, are you following me? In one moment, I'm seeing the same woman running from a distance with the same face. So that's, you know, what this means. So I says to Winnie, I don't know if you know Georgian wife, Winnie. Okay. I says to Winnie, this is the woman that beat me yesterday, but it's my turn. I'm a pastor. I cannot tell you a lie. I mean, I got to... you're laughing. I was serious, kind of, you know. So we have a privilege when we are here to watch Super Bowl. You know, oh, wow, I'm American. You're crazy about this, you know. So I think I will be like a Super Bowl. That was my idea because I saw the man yesterday. I can catch her and pull on the side because she can destroy the whole meeting, kind of. Do you understand? But Winnie says to me, wait. Just pull on the side and wait. So I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? She lifts her heads and starting, ha, 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 ho, 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 ho. She's starting laughing. I mean, if you know her, she's crazy about the laughter, you know, the joy of the Lord. And she started laughing and says, even now you're more vulnerable to be bitten, you know. Be honest. You're like, so this lady, she run. I'm telling this kind of, but this was very fast. She run and get frozen. And Winnie took on her hands and they continued to walk. Can you imagine how the joy can make the difference? Because when we are, what the Bible says, always rejoice, when we enter in His presence, Jesus in us getting taken care of, even if we have enemy around us. So I want to tell you, maybe you have challenges with your health, with your relationship, any kind. Try to laughing. Somebody got it. Allow this joy from the Lord to possess you. You got to practice these muscles to move a little bit. It's so beautiful, His presence, because His presence is fullness of the joy. Always rejoice, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what is the will of God for us today? Even in the pandemic, always rejoice. To have fellowship non-stopping with Him. That means our mind to not be bundled with other things, but our mind being on Him and thinking everything we do today work, let's work with Him. And the third thing, for everything be thankful. When we are thankful, we will experience what the will of God can do in our life. Amen? Did you grab something this morning? Shava. Glory to Jesus. Something on the midst of the communion. I don't know if you can preach, kind of. Time is running. But something else more of the time of communion. We drink from the cup. You know, Old Testament, they need to apply on their door the blood of the lamb. Well, this cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't put on the top. We have in us. That means that Christ today is in us. It's not somewhere. Do you remember when He was with the disciple, He says, it's better for you to I go. Because when I go, I'll ask my Father. And I'll ask my Father to send The helper. Are you following me?
Yes.
Helper. Who is this? Holy Spirit. Advocate. What is the other word? Comforter. Thank you. Somebody help me. Counsel. Some. Huh? Teacher. Advocate. Bodyguard. Mighty God. Bodyguard too. Mighty God. This is what is the Holy Spirit. And he came in us with the biggest purpose, Jesus to be all the time in us. He says, I will not leave you orphans. So 3 years and a half they've been with Jesus. And one day Jesus says, hey guys, I got to go. No, you're not going anywhere. We laid down our life in your hands. Now you're living. No. He says, it's better for you. Because when the Holy Spirit come, then mean I will dwell in you. Not longer next to you, but in you. And this is the biggest secret. How the big God came in our human being. And how we as a human being in a big God. So when we drink it from the cup, we remind ourselves the big God live in us. The biggest mystery. How everything happened? It's happened by His love. By His love. You know, God is love. He's not trying to love. He is love. Like or don't like, God loves you. And He is love. And I'm trying to explain to people in a very simple way why He sent Jesus. Why Jesus, who is God, became a man. You follow me? The point to show the love. What is the biggest animal in the world? What do you think? Elephant. I'm giving this small example. What is the small? Ant? Huh? Ant? Amoeba? What is the? So one day elephant says to the ant, for example, I want to kiss you. I want to hug you. How this will happen? If the elephant kiss the ant, it means make it dead. Do you understand? So Jesus came like us. So to kiss us, to hug us. And on that cross, He showed His love. Wide open arms, He allowed. So, like, welcome everyone. This is the God's love. And I can barely step what I wanted to share this morning with you from the Word of God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Huh? You're ready from a long time ago, okay? Luke 4 is written the story where Jesus was in His hometown, Nazareth, and He went to the synagogue, usually what He is doing. And when He entered in the synagogue, the Bible says that they give it to Him scroll, okay, in English. And Jesus opened it on the place where Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, spoke the word 700 years ago before Jesus. So He opened it. I want you to imagine this picture for a moment. When He opened it and He's starting to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And you know this scripture. Do I need to continue to read it? Okay? If somebody can read it. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to take care for the heartbroken, to proclaim the liberty, to open the prison for the one that is bound, to proclaim the favorite year of the Lord, and to comfort all those that are in mourning. I'm just reading from Bulgarian translation. trying to say in English how is the word, and says, to proclaim the favorite year to the Lord. Then, the verse 20 says, then he rolled up the scroll, give it back to the attendant, and sit down. And these eyes of all those in the synagogue were fixed on him. Can you imagine next time Pastor Jay coming here and open the Bible and read two verses and go and sit there? What kind of service will we have that? Everybody will be, look at how he's dressed. Look at his finger. He has a golden ring. Everybody think, what Jesus mean? And he's starting to explain. And he says, these two scripture that I've read it to you, these two sentences that I've read it to you, it's a part that been fulfilled today. Which is Jesus says, I'm here with the purpose. Let me tell you what is my purpose. My purpose is to preach the good news. My purpose is to heal. My purpose is to bring freedom. My purpose is to show you my kingdom that is a favorite year of the Lord. What I'm going to do, it will bring you to the rest. Are you okay with this? So now they're looking and I'm meditating on this scripture. And I says, why Jesus doesn't read the whole chapter, the whole letter. When God is speaking, he usually doesn't speak chapter 1, verse 1. When I've met my wife and we're starting to writing letters and, you know, I didn't say, dear Mariana, chapter 1, verse 1, greetings from my city, verse 2, how are you? You know, no, it's a whole letter. With, you know, the love letter. God sent us love letter. So when you go on Isaiah 61, you know, let's go Isaiah 61, please. Isaiah, where are you, man? 61. Okay. What Jesus read is this two scripture, and I says, oh, let me meditate it. What's happened later? And the story. And here in the story says to give them this Bible says, let me find another translation. There's a different Bible. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that may be that he may be glorified. So when you read the first part of Isaiah, what Jesus fulfilled, it was for his time. The second part that I'm reading now, it was for the time on the cross. It's very important we remind one another what's happened on that cross. Because on that cross, we receive new identity. Earlier, Pastor Jay says the first Adam actually was created. The second Adam that we are after the cross of Jesus, we are not any longer created. We are born again. You must make the difference. Something that is born carries the DNA from the parent who give the birth. So we are born from above. We carry the DNA of our father. First Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam was the living spirit. And now you gotta see this beautiful picture, how everything happened on the cross. The cross, he says, to give them beauty of for ashes. You know, all of us have ID or passport, which is when we cross somewhere the border, they put and they get all information who we are. I will tell you, there is information in heaven who you are. The Bible says there is a book, and this book is written our name, and it's called the Book of Life. And this Book of Life is point who you are in Christ. And how everything happened, Jesus says, when my time coming, on the Nazareth, you will see it. That means on that cross, I will take your ashes and I will give you my crown. Are you following me? That means when people do the sin, they bring animal, the priest pray for the animal, the sin get on the animal been burned, and then the ashes that take it, they put on them. So when God coming, he see the ashes, that means their sin are forgiven. This was in the Old Testament. But today, God does not only forgive our sin. Our sin is forgiven. He make us not anymore sinful nature. He make us to be a righteous one. So he put us crown. This is probably like African crown. I'll try to. You know, crown. You know, when you have crown on your head, what do you think is it? Royalty? Authority? Usually one of the translations says bouquet. When people race on the sport, when they win, they are winners. On a good side, on God's side, you're a winner. You have this crown on you with a purpose to remember you have new identity, to know who you are. You're not longer a sinner. You are a righteous one. You are in Christ. You are the son and daughter. You are born from above. Many Christians today walk like this and they lost their crown. God wants to you go like that. And he's not finished with your authority. You must understand, we have a body. We have face. He put oil of joy instead mourning. It was so much hurting from our enemy. But God says, enough. Jesus endures the cross. Why? Hebrews says, for the joy that was set up. Who is the joy? We are the joy. If heaven is full of joy and we are hooked with Jesus and we are in heaven, we are the joy. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, what's happened? Father did something very significant. Father made the heaven to be dark, allowed the heaven to be dark. It was not dark time on the day. It was not evening. It was darkness. Which is, when it's getting dark, you know what's happened? You are going to see the stars. Are you following me? I'm giving something new. When Abraham was old, and God came to him and says, I will bless you. From your womb will come generation that I can bless you. Oh, I'm so old. No. Let me take you to see something. He take him to the beach. Show him sand. Can you count it? No. This is how big will be your generation. He point to him stars. Did you see the stars? Yeah, I see them. Can you count them? 1, 2. I cannot. And the Bible says, Abraham believed. That's the moment when he says, Abraham believed. That's the moment when he saw the stars. When Jesus was on the cross, he can call the many angels to destroy the world, like everything, but he saw the stars. That means he saw me and you. Like Abraham saw the coming generation. Jesus on the cross saw me and you. And he says, I'm going to endorse this joy, this cross, because this is my joy. You are in the picture of Jesus. And not just a joy, but oil of joy. When it's tough time coming, to remind you, you're born for eternal joy. Okay? And the third things, I'm jumping quickly. I can stop so much, you know, these details and speak to you, but this blessed me a lot. The third things, he says, garment of praise. Can you imagine? Help me, Lord. Shingy bingy. Can somebody say shingy bingy? Do you know what is this? Me either, but it's good. Okay. So now you have Shabbat. You have a crown. put this side. And you have a smile. This is how God is looking on you. I don't know how you're looking on yourself, but also you have a cloth. You gotta see it, this beautiful picture. I mean, I'm trying to illustrate it. But you gotta see it. This is you. This is all of us that Christ did on the cross. What exactly happened? When first human being, Adam and Eve, did wrong, when God coming, because every afternoon at 4 o'clock they have a Starbucks coffee, okay? When God coming, he asked them, where are you? And they says, we are hiding because we are naked. Who told you you're naked? Well, we always says people is born naked, okay? But how they know now they are naked? Then means something being they cover it. Do you follow me? So nakedness means that they lost the ability, which is the glory, that God covered them to communicate with God. Nobody can have, as a human being, because of the sin, can have opportunity to communicate straight with God, because you are not able to handle this glory. His glory will definitely, you are not able to sustain, like a volcano. You cannot get close to a volcano without putting protection. Otherwise, you can burn it. So our protection to see the realm of God is Jesus. One day Moses says, I wanted to see you. And God says, that's a good desire, but that means suicide. You know? So then God says, okay, I will fulfill your desire. I will put you, not you, I will put you on the cliff of the rock. This means, Moses, let me tell you something. I'm telling you, the one that is coming to this world, Jesus is the rock. I will put you on Jesus, and then you will have ability to see me. You have a crown to tell this world that you're coming from the royal family. You have the joy of the Lord that's in the kingdom of the Lord. Things are not coming like in the earthly kingdom. It's working with pleasure. And you have a dress that is called garment of praise. That's mean a party. That's mean you're in the glory. When you're in the glory, you're lost in the party of the Lord. Jesus pray, Father, when they saved, let they die, go immediately to heaven. No. His prayer was, what is in heaven? Let's come in the earth. We need to hear, practicing the heaven. To walk boldly what he did on that cross for us, who we are in him. Amen? So you are a new creation. Born from above. Is a new creation. Do not worry how people can react. Worry to fulfill the will of the Father. If there is a word worry, because in the kingdom, Jesus says, don't worry. My Father knows what you needed. And if he knows how to take care of for you. And I finish with this, that we need to understand that Jesus read this story this was on his 30th years, 3 years later approximately, was the beginning, he went to the cross and fulfilled the second part of the letter. You follow me? Did you understand this? Some of you did not understand. And then he's coming to the part that we are. The part that was 2,700 years later. This is the part for us today. And they, who are they? Legacy Church. They. Point to the neighbor, says you. But like this, you. So three fingers to you and one to him. You. They shall build the old wastes. They should raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste city, the desolation of many generations. Hi, 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 hi. Hi, 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 hi. No more I. Our favorite scripture is Galatians 2:20. And it says, I, everybody say I, and then I. Oh, you got to get some musical lesson. I. Okay, no longer I, but Christ. I been co-crucified with Christ. So no longer I live, but Christ live in me. Through Christ, we're able, which is they, we, through Christ, are able to build old wastes. And let me tell you, when we read it with Mariana, this part of the scripture, and understand this is our time, yes. 2,700 years, when we go to these cities. Oh, Paul stepped here, and the promise of God, what he started, he is able to finish it. We are the generation to redig these old wells, to renew these places, to see the breakthrough for the life of many people. Are you excited there is a purpose for you to living? Yes. Hallelujah. I'm so excited because what we are doing, we are fulfilling His will. And His will is the best for all of us. Amen? Did you grab something this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your move amongst us. Thank you that we are living in such a time of this, that we are experiencing things that generation doesn't understand. But we are thankful because the time that we are born, it's your divine appointment for us. And we are not just sitting and waiting for what we're going to have for lunch, but we are sitting here and waiting what you're going to give us as a, on our road to we experience to see your glory amongst us. And we ask you, Lord, bless us, guide us, direct us. Let every step that we make glorify Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying that this morning, when we share all these stories and meditate from your words, let Christ be our focus all the time. Let our eyes be on Him. And everything what we are going to see, Him and Him lifted up. We are so thankful. And we declare that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are God, and we are so thankful, Jesus, that the price that you pay make us to be the son and daughter of the living Father. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Come on. So if you've got your offering, don't forget to drop it off and support everything that God is doing in and through their life. And we believe God's going to do even greater measure things. I want you to take what you received today and go with it. Right? Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it. And so you've now been empowered. If you've heard a testimony of the way Jesus works, then you can move into that testimony, what's happening. And that was things I was blown away. There were so many stories where, like, hey, we're just driving along, and then the Spirit said, stop. And then go and wake. We don't know anybody, but we know Him, and He knows them and draws them in. And that's what we're moving into. It's not just you bringing them to the church. It's you, the church, going to them. Right? And so I feel like we just need to show that video, though, too. I want to do this about 5 minutes to that, too. So, Kurt, why don't you do that? I feel like, and we're going to pray and bless them before they leave.
My name is Jora. This is my wife, Mariana. And we are kind of fighting to help this group of gypsy people who lives in this difficult condition. And the situation there, 300 people. So the situation is really difficult over there. This is the church. This is one of the couple, they live here. And usually there was a place for the horse, but now because they grow, so they move the horse on the back. They used to live in the houses.
like a mile or two from the places where they are now. And the government came and they decided to build on this area a nice fancy store. So they says, we will move you for 6 months in this boxcar.
There is 29 trailers, boxcar.
There are like four like this street there, another there. Here is the horse. So in the back is the horse.
So simply this is the condition. These people live like last 10 years here.
Government told them, we sure there will be only for 6 months and that they will move them into the houses or apartments. But the situation been changed from 6 months. They stay there and today will be like 10 years.
You can see it, this is the food for the horse where they carry. This is usually the cars that they're carrying when they go to the garbage can. And this is what they use for recycling some stuff. So it's not easy, the life here, but they try to adjust somehow. And we don't want to blame anybody, but what we wanted to see help for these people. Well, we're coming to the place where everybody having a water. This is the place where almost 300 people taking water for themselves and drinking from this thing. There is a water, but it's not convenient. Like, can you imagine you want to brush your teeth? How you will do it? I don't know how long they take a shower, when they have ability to take a shower. They don't have toilet for the moment, so they use any place that is possibility for a toilet. She just came back from the hospital, pneumonia.
Let's raise up now and starting to look for solution. Let's see what we able to do. But it's not easy because there are so many regulation and so many problems.
If you have to solve the problem of this kind of people, you need some kind of resources, not only the money. You need resources, technical resources, economical resources, resources for the education. We need to build small education centers to teach this kind of people how to know to do something. If we don't do this kind of work, we spend a lot of government money for nothing. And unfortunately, our government don't care about it. For example, the mayor, municipality government, okay, I need 200,000 Bulgarian lev to make some reconstruction. The government, no, don't have any money. Forget it. This is a problem.
So 10 years, this group of people, nobody come to help. I mean, government doesn't come to even...
And they forgot for them.
It's not fair. People make promises without not fulfilled.
This is Peter, one of our friends. How he's registered on ID card on Boulevard Europa 175, where we're sitting. Officially, by the government, this is a government place. Who put them here needs to be responsible to help change the condition or move them near to this area on the better condition. And I don't understand why our government cannot do something. These people are Bulgarians. They need to have in their country a place to stay. I don't say they're not also problematic people. They are. But what we should do? Kill them or help them to live?
Now is there almost a million gypsies in Bulgaria. So if we are not treat them well in the future, when they get many as a number, who knows, maybe this will create a big problem. So better to have right attitude today to see in the future good fruits in the life and society together.
want to tell you what first moved my heart when we had lunch with Joel and Mariana, and it was their care and compassion for the least of these. And we've got other friends who know how to love in a very passionate way. And as you were reading the scriptures of talking about the rebuilding of ruined cities, here's what I want you to pick up on, church, okay? We have the resources from heaven to do this. Does it always show up in a monetary thing? Not always. But I'm telling you what right now, nothing is impossible. Tell me what money Jesus used to multiply fish and bread for a multitude of people. It was a currency of his Father's kingdom. And I'm telling you right now, if we're going to see revival and awakening, we've got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? With those who are hurting and broken in our own back streets. If we don't take care of Jerusalem now, our Jerusalem, it's not just reaching there. And I'm telling you, the Lord is going to do something that's beyond a bunch of church meetings, and we all feel good, and we get filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I love that. I love that. I love that. But if it does not translate into transformation out there, I don't want that revival. That's why I felt so just moved to show this to you. Is like the preaching of the word is like you say me. You carry the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. That same resurrection power is in you. That same ability to pray for the dead to raise is in you. That same ability to pray for a blind eye to open is in you. And that same ability to pray for fish to multiply is in you. All that's required is you say, yes, Lord, what are you doing? And I'm going to go and I'm going to love and I'm going to love and I'm going to love. The currency of heaven is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. He sent the solution. He didn't send an angel. He sent his son. He's not looking to send angels to transform the world. He's looking to send his sons and his daughters. I'm sorry, I'm feeling like Lou Engle right now, but it's just the Spirit of the Lord, right? If we believe that we are moving into the greatest move in the history of the planet, it's going to show up in the dirtiest places to the cleanest places, and the glory of the Lord is going to shine in through your lives. And hear me on this. I'm not doing this so y'all give a bunch of money. If you're not going to give because you feel led by the Lord, then don't give. Right? I'm telling you this because I want you to go give your lives to this out there. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe we're going to see transformation. We are building the ruined cities. The verse for this church came out of Isaiah 54. And in that last part, it says, this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. But the very beginning part in verse 11, it says, and I will rebuild your walls. It's the Lord that's rebuilding. We just get to partner with him too. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. So I want you to stand up with me, and I'm just going to ask Joel and Mariana, did I get it right finally?
Yeah.
Joel. But I believe like Zorro, what did Zorro come in? He went, ta-ta-ta-ta. Come on, Kelly. So I want you to extend out your hands, and we're going to have a mutual receiving and giving in this thing. Father, we just thank you for the yes of this beautiful couple, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that they said, we will go to the least of these and love them as you loved us, God. And I pray, Lord, right now, that as they're in this season, a multiplication of the sons and daughters that carry that same DNA and vision to be able to bring the gospel to the gypsies, Lord God. And that, Lord, I just sense, Lord, there's even those who don't even realize they're a gypsy in this world, that they're wanderers in this world. And God, that you're going to grab a hold of their hearts and where they'll wander no longer because they're going to belong to a family, God. And I pray, Lord God, more than enough provision, abundant, super above everything they could ask, think, or imagine, Lord God, and to everything that you've put on their heart. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them very direct vision, Lord, for their next steps and the things that you have for them, Lord God. And Lord, we don't just receive them so we could feel good about supporting a missionary couple. We receive them, Lord God, because we say that same grace that's on them, Lord, we want to operate in, and we want to continue the work work of the gospel of the kingdom in our own city, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would just pour out today your supernatural power and your supernatural joy, Lord God. Lord, that we're not just going to have to fake it till we make it, but God, we would be so encaptured by the joy that you have for us, Lord God, that we would burn with the joy of the Lord, Lord God, that it would radiate, just like when that demonic woman was running up and Winnie just began to laugh in the joy of the Lord in that froze her in place so she could hear you. God, we just say, Lord, we just want you. Have your way. Have your way. Multiply, Lord God, the bread and the fish. Multiply, Lord God, your healings and your miracles and your signs and your wonders, Lord God. Multiply, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord God, the desire to both do your will and to live it out. And we just say, have this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynv.com.